everyone. It's Aaron Morrow and Brian LaFlame, the realtor and lender duo, mortgage guy, Washingtonian realtor, greater Seattle area. We're back at it again with a another YouTube Live multicast, multi-stream platform in the greater social platform multiverse, streaming to you on everything, anywhere. Clapper, TikTok, YouTube, you name it, you've heard of it. I haven't figured out how to go on Alignable yet, but I'm sure if there's a way to go on Alignable, I'll be on there too soon. So we're everywhere. Let's see here. Now we're on IG. We're live on IG. Mm-hmm. So we are here to talk about buying versus renting, and this is going to be no BS. So this isn't one of those like super shockers where we're here to like sway you in one way or the other, or trash talk renting versus trash talk buying. We're here to look at the numbers conservatively and almost being unbiased on it. I know that sounds crazy because we're realtors and a lender here, but really we're here to look at this with you, and we want to make sure we want to look at it from a stance of, is buying a home or renting right now right for you right now? Or when is it the right time for you to get into home ownership? That's what we're looking at today. We're going to be breaking down the numbers. And Brian, numbers geek, love it. He has been really good with these numbers. So he's been super harsh on like on the home ownership side, to be fair with the numbers. So this isn't like skewing to make it look like, oh, look how awesome home ownership is, you know, compared to, oh man, like renting seems like it's a no brainer. We should just rent the rest of our lives and give all of our money to all of these corporations that are just going to build these new construction properties for us to rent the rest of our lives, anything like that. So we are here to be able to approach this and help you guys. I know this is the longest intro ever. Let's just get into it. Brian, you have anything to add to that super long 5-minute intro? Or
I was just going to keep letting you going forever.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, he is just going to, I've been watching. I was like, I've been going for 3 minutes.
So, buying is not for everybody, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah,
if buying is definitely not right for you. This is not a value judgment. It could be maybe you're not financially ready to buy yet, which scares a lot of people away from trying to buy. And I want to dissuade that. First of all, if you think that buying a home is something that you want in your future, you should talk to a lender. Oh, Aaron's got call me right when I said that. You should talk to a lender earlier rather than later, because if it's for you, you want to find out where you are on that path so that you can start making steps in the right direction. But buying is not for everybody. And so I don't know how long this show is going to go, because we're going to go through the scenarios that we have. We're going to go through the math that we have. And we're going to talk about what we think is, what we think the data tells us. And then, I mean, that's kind of what we're going to talk about, and let some people jump on and have some questions that we can go over as well. So I'm going to share my screen.
Completely
first.
Agreed. I think this will be,
and then talk about what I think.
This will be all dependent on if we have any sort of comments coming in to pad the runtime on the end here, you know, because usually we're like, usually we're like, our shows, are we going to have this be 20 minutes and ends up going for 50 minutes? This one might be a quicker one if people aren't coming in with their questions. So we'll see. We'll see if anyone comes in with their questions on any of the platforms. I'm watching the comment sections right now. By the way, just to let you guys know, for housekeeping items, I'm going to drop all of our content or contact information in the comment section. Feel free to reach out to us, but we're going to get into it right now. Brian, let me throw this on the screen for you.
So this is a stat I came across doing some research for a class to our business partners. And it is one of the most sobering statistics I've seen regarding housing. And I want to start with, the best hedge against inflation is a 30-year fixed mortgage. Okay. Housing prices have gone up. If you are purchasing a house, housing prices have gone up. You know for whom they have not gone up? People that purchased in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2018, 2015. Their housing prices have stayed the same, or it has gone down. Because Right. Once you purchase a house, you have your interest rate, and you have your housing payment. Yes, taxes will go up at about 2% a year or so, But if you buy a $500,000 house in Pierce County, your taxes are going to be about $4,800 or so a year. So it'll go up 2% of that $4,800, which is just over $90 a year.
Yeah.
That is how your housing price will increase as opposed to your entire rental payment increasing. So I want to go over this first. A stat that I ran across, the share of people who spend 30% or more of their income on housing in just our greater Seattle area. So it's this should say 18 to 24. There's a typo there on the graph. But from 18 to 24, 64% of renters spend 30% or more of their income on housing. Only 44% of homeowners. Now, this is to be expected as people are kind of entering the workforce. They probably have more entry-level jobs. They haven't quite worked their way up through the job force into the higher-paying jobs as they get older. And you can see in it here, as from 25 to 64, the numbers come way down. But the saddest thing in the world to me regarding this chart is people 65 and older.
That's 65 plus right there.
61% of their income. Or 61% of them spend 30% of their income on housing when they rent. Only 33% spend 30% of more income on housing as owners. And it's sad for a couple of reasons. 65 and up, either you're on a fixed income as you're retired, and as your rental costs and your housing costs go up, your fixed income really doesn't go up to keep pace with that. So it just keeps eating in to your monthly income. Or you aren't allowed to retire yet and become and go on a fixed income because you have such expensive housing.
Right.
To your income. And then third, they almost certainly don't have a nest egg to pass on to their loved ones, which a lot of us, that's super important too. So this is what the big difference between renting and housing and why I say it's the greatest hedge against inflation, a 30-year fixed mortgage, because your interest rate will never go up on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It can only
stay or go down. Right.
And your housing price, as your housing gets more and more and more expensive, you don't get to, you still bought it at the price you bought it at. And as housing goes up, it's going to continue, you're going to continue to keep your same, relatively same payment. I was going over some stats in our first-time homebuyer classes. And in this month, the Case-Shiller numbers are going to come out and show that in 2023, housing rose 6.8% nationwide. And that's 6.8% in a time where sales dropped from over 5 million to under 4 million, from like 5.1 to 3.8 million. That's a huge drop in sales.
Yeah.
The interest rates nearly doubled. They hit over 8%. And even in that environment, housing went up over 6%. And that's going to make, 73 out of the last 82 years that housing prices have increased. In the past 82 years, housing has gone up 72 times, it has been flat once, and it has gone down in price 7 times. Now, because it went down in price for 4 consecutive years at the Great Recession that we got through about 15 years ago, that's in people's minds. So I think housing is going to go down, housing going to go down, housing going to go down.
Right.
Even for those people whose housing values went down, if they had a steady job and a 30-year fixed mortgage, their housing payment stayed the same. So their life didn't change because they still had to live in that house. So this is the first thing I wanted to talk about. This is super sad to me. 61% of renters 65 and over spend 30% or more of their income on housing. The best case scenario is they spend 30%. And that's gross income. So that's not counting taxes, health insurance, food, like all the stuff that they have to spend anyways. All right, so now let's look at some math, shall we? We're going to look at King County and
definitely. We're going to look
at Pierce County. Hopefully you guys can see the screen. If not, Aaron will put the YouTube link in the chat so that you guys can find the YouTube link and look at the screen as we go through it.
And again, before we look at these numbers, what we're going to say, any of you looking on a national level, because I do have viewers that come all across the United States, these numbers obviously vary in areas you're looking in. Because I know some of you, and I've chatted with other agents in some other areas, there are some areas that homeownership is actually it in some instances makes a lot more sense than even renting. Like there are some areas that it's actually a lot even cheaper to get into homeownership than renting. So like, just keep in mind that I always encourage to either reach out to us and we'll connect you with a great lender realtor team to look into your situation to make sure if this makes sense for you. these numbers are going to be different, but what we're looking at here locally on a local level for the greater Seattle area in Washington State, we are one of the, I believe, the fourth, don't quote me on this, I think we're like the fourth most expensive city or area in the United States to live in as far as mm-hmm. housing goes. So these numbers, it's just some of you might look at this and you're going to just like be like, what am I looking at here? But that's the thing. It's just these numbers are crazy across the board, different across the US.
And if you
but,
want them, we can do this yeah. for your area as well. We can give you your
uh-huh. area. Yeah, we'd be happy to go over it. So reach out to us and yeah, we'd be happy to talk to you about it. So
let's
feel free
what this is.
Yeah, let's look at this. Yeah.
So what we did here is we have buying a house over the first 10 years versus renting a house in King County. And we're using a 6.75% interest rate on an FHA loan. So that means you have upfront mortgage insurance and monthly mortgage insurance, trying to make it as conservative as possible. And you have a low down payment, not 20%, not 30% of it. It's 3.5% down payment. We're looking at your principal and interest payment, your property taxes, homeowners insurance, and I'm even including $200 of maintenance and repairs, which as a homeowner, you don't put, almost nobody puts $200 a month into account for maintenance and repairs. What happens is you either have homeowner's insurance, you have a home warranty, or you have a credit card that you have room on in order to make emergency repairs, or you have a savings account that you put, and then you will take money from that, of course. Now, I'm correct. Just going to assume you're putting $200 a month into this, and I'm going to count that in your housing payment to make it as conservative as possible. So we can see what the monthly is from year one. And then for renting, I'm just going to have a normal annual increase of 6% in rent that is standard for King County, Washington. And we're going to start at $4,000, which is about what you pay for something like this in King County, maybe three, maybe 45, depending on where you are in King County. We're going to use $4,000 a month and we're going to have rent.
And I'm glad. And Brian, let me just say, I'm glad that you're audibly breaking down the numbers because one, for the podcasters, mm-hmm. but two, a lot of people are watching these in a vertical format on screens that are smaller that they cannot actually see okay. this. So it's good that we're breaking down the numbers for visually that people that can see it, but also explaining it audibly for the visual aid. So fantastic. Yeah.
And if you want these assets, we'll send them to you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Link. So comment. Assets.
Make sure you spell that right.
Make sure you spell that right. Comment assets or just whatever. Just say what if you want it and we'll send it to you. But comment assets in the comment section and we'll send you our slide deck. Yep.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. So what we'll do is
I think I lost Brian there, or maybe my connection's not doing so well. So we'll see.
Price increases. Oh, there we go.
Oh, I think I lost you. I don't know if I...
We're back.
Anyways, you're back. Okay.
Yeah.
You keep going.
Through the first 10 years, every single year until year 7 is going to be cheaper to purchase than it is, to rent than it is to purchase on a monthly cash flow basis. As you can see, year 1 is much lower. And then we don't eclipse the cost of rent by going up just the normal 6% until year 8. So over the first 10 years, you're actually spending $46,821 more for your mortgage payment as a buyer than you are as a renter. And this is where most people stop. Aaron and I were watching somebody, someone's video where this is one of the place where they stopped. Hey, if you buy or if you rent, you're going to pay this much in rent and this much as a buyer. And so it doesn't make sense to buy. And we thought, well, what if we dug a little deeper? And yes, absolutely. And this is assuming also that nobody ever refinances from their 6.75% interest rate. So if you've been on any of these podcasts, you see where we think rates are going to go and why, and how the data continues to bear that out. So this is also assuming during this 10 years, rates never get below 6.75. They stay here and nobody refinances. Another way that we're being super conservative away from buying and toward renting, just to show like the real benefits and the costs of all of it. Everything has a cost and everything has a benefit. So we're going to look at
right.
and you're the only one who can decide which one is more important to you. So the next thing we're going to look at is the appreciation gain. And man, I meant to have these come up separately, but that's fine. You can all look at them. So,
and Brian, and not to slow you down, but for any of our listeners that want to understand, can you define cash flow for people that have no real estate speak? Yeah.
Yeah. Cash flow is just the amount of money that you are spending every month or making every month. So what's going out or what's coming in, how your cash flows in and out. And then that.
And to summarize our chart, because we went super conservative on the numbers on this chart that we made based on the interest rates and this monthly payments that we broke down for these mortgage payments for this house purchase price, you would actually be not, your rental costs would be better for the first 10 years. Would be less. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would be less for the first 10 years on the
almost $50,000. Like that's a big
yeah. Number. Yeah, that is a big
number. You're gonna spend and that's monthly.
Yeah.
$50,000 over the aggregate, $50,000 more.
Now I'm looking in here. Is that now let's see here. I'm looking in here. Now that's the cash flow because that's not taking into account the appreciation on
That's next.
Yeah, that's next. Okay. Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Total out of pocket is $685,739 for buying and $638,918 for renting. That number
would awesome. Be
for you if you're listening. Just off the top of my head, carry the one, square root of pi, $46,821 less in rental costs than mortgage costs. All right. So awesome. The thing that you don't get when you rent that everybody knows is appreciation. Now, not many people know how much appreciation. So we're taking the historical appreciation of 5.31%. In King County, Washington, that is historical appreciation over the last 62 years. So we're not just counting the 18%, the 10%, the 6%, the nearly 7% that housing prices have gone up the past 4 years. We're taking the average, the highs and the lows. So with that average appreciation gain over the next 10 years, a $750,000 house is going to be worth $1.25 million. If that seems incredible to you and you're in Pierce or King County, this $750,000 house 10 years ago was about $350,000, $375,000. That was the price of the house. That is, we talked about at the top of the show, real estate has gone up now 72 of the past 83 years. It is 72.19.
Yeah. Brian, by the way, we have a live comment from one of my TikTokers, Joe Smith. He's a regular. Hey Joe, thanks for coming on. He mentioned interest rates are now close to 8%.
No. Interest rates on a down payment assistance loan in Washington state will be close to 8% if you take the 5% down payment assistance option. But interest rates right now, we just quoted somebody on a 30-year fixed with 30% down at 6.99%. Rates are in the high sixes to the low sevens. After this week's two pretty difficult inflation reports, we had a consumer price index that came out hotter than expected and inflation went up a bit. That was tampered on Wednesday and Thursday, one by retail sales coming in much lower than anticipated and the Fed coming out and saying, hey, we don't need interest inflation to go down in a straight line. We understand that it's going to be bumpy. But then today we had the producer price index, which the consumer price index, think of as the retail prices, what you pay as a consumer. Producer price index, think of it as the wholesale prices, what it costs to manufacture and send things to you. That went up pretty dramatically and we had another high print. So interest rates are currently at their 2024 highs, but 6.75% on an FHA loan is 100% doable right now. Thanks, Joe.
Awesome, Joe. Thank you so much for the comment. Hey, and Joe, any other comments, please feed them to us because we'd love to answer your questions as we go along.
And I need to say these rates that I quoted are not an offer to lend, and there are specific scenarios with a whole lot of things that we can't get into right now, but FHA
loans, yes.
part 6.75 should be easy to get to.
Yes.
So this appreciation you have of about $500,000. So that means a $750,000 house is going to be worth about $1.25 million. What else people don't really realize is you have an amortization gain. So you have amortization of about $100,000 that if you sell, this is also your money that's coming back to you. You also have a tax benefit. As you reach the higher tax brackets, you may want to write off your taxes. So for
I froze. I'm sure that freezes on my end for my TikTok. So let's see.
Okay.
Hey, Brian.
We're back.
Yeah, we're back. I froze on my end. So whatever you said probably froze for my TikTokers. So.
Okay. I was talking
about 10 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. Not just the appreciation, but also the amortization gain. So this amortization gain that you're going to have is just how much you've paid down the balance of your loan. When you're renting, you're only paying either down the balance of your landlord's loan or you're putting money into their bank account. So you have appreciation, you have amortization, and you have tax benefits if you decide to write off your homeowner's insurance and your taxes. Now, I made the assumption that you're not going to quite be in the tax bracket to write off you're going to probably take the standard deduction for the first few years, and then maybe you get into an income tax bracket where you want to itemize your deductions. And so we didn't itemize every year for tax benefit. And all that itemization means of tax benefit is you get to lower your taxable income, so you pay less in taxes. I also wanted to include this cost to sell. This cost to sell is a big deal. So you're going to pay a realtor, hopefully, because if I were selling a house, I would only ever use a realtor.
Jeff Thornton, mentioning 2-1 buy down might also be a great option. So
yeah, I think we'll do a show on that one time, what temporary buy downs are.
Thanks, Jeff.
So you're also going to pay excise tax in Washington, which is like 1.68%. And you're going to pay your owner's title insurance. So there are costs to sell the property as well. So we want to make sure that we put those into account as well. And then let's take a look at what the net gain is from buying a house. And you'll notice here, if you're looking at a screen, we have the cost to get into the house, your initial closing cost estimate. We have the cash flow difference where you're spending more in mortgage than you are in rent over the first 10 years. And we have the cost to sell estimates with your closing costs, your realtor costs, your taxes. And so we want to make sure we count all of those against buying versus selling, because those are very real costs and things that a lot of people will hide and just say, hey, look at this money you're going to make. Well, yes.
No, it's agreed. Need to look at it holistically to be fair. We can't do apples to oranges. We have to do apples to apples, even if we have to squeeze it down, you know?
Look, if you're going to be in this house for 3 years and you don't want to ever be a landlord, you should probably be renting based off this math. Aaron and I say all the time to our clients, it is not the right time for everybody to buy, but it is always the right time to look into buying. You just get all the data and make the choice that's best for you. And that's what this show is hoping to help with. If you're in there for 3 years, I wouldn't do it. It's not worth it. The cost to buy, the cost to sell, the difference in how much less you're going to be paying in rent, I'd probably be renting. If you just want to be in this house for 3 years, maybe you're in the military or maybe your job.
Especially if you know for sure, like, you know, going into it, like there's some people where it's an unforeseen circumstance that wasn't the plan and it takes them out of it. But if you know going into it, that was your strategy. Like, you can't go into it thinking, ooh, you're going to have a huge market burst, like a boom 2020, 2021 appreciation. That's not going to.
Warren Buffett is saying, you know, it's not about timing the market. It's about time in the market. And that's true. Maybe you bought in 2018 and you're the genius because 2020 came along and your value went way up in 2020, 2021, and your interest rate went down. That's awesome for you. That's dumb luck. So look at the thing that I really love about real estate is a thing called compound amortization, or compound appreciation, excuse me. So this 5.3% that King County real estate has gone up on average over the past 62 years is not 5.3% from the original price of 750. It's 750 times, 105.3%. And then whatever that number is times 105.3%. And so you compound, and you can see that as we get compounded appreciation each year. So this year you're making $50,000. This year you're making $60,000. This year is more, this year is more, this year is more, this year is more, because of the way the appreciation compounds. It's 5% of 800 the second year, not 750, if that makes sense. So if we're looking at the initial costs and we're looking at the appreciation, amortizations, tax benefits, you're going to come out on top almost $500,000 over the first 10 years. And this is assuming, again, that you've never refinanced. So let's take a look at Pierce County, and we're going to do the same sort of thing. I won't spend so much time explaining all this because it is the exact same as King County, but we're using the lower rental increase in Pierce County. We're using the lower price point in Pierce County, and we're going to end up using a lower appreciation rate in Pierce County too. So the cash flow difference over the first 9 years in Pierce County, buying a $525,000 house, using the same maintenance and repairs numbers as well, the same interest rate, never refinancing, you're going to be paying about $53,500 more. And you can see you don't
get more in Pierce County.
Yeah.
And Pierce County's worse.
It is worse. Yeah. It's worse because we have a lower annual rental increase in Pierce County.
Because
there are fewer people. So rent doesn't go up quite as quickly. And we have a lower appreciation rate too in King County as opposed to
That makes sense when you shift the paradigm that way.
Which is why it's important to know where you're looking and what it looks like. Because as Aaron said, there's some places in America where it makes much more sense to rent than it does to buy. And that's okay. If that's the case, if you live in Nevada and or Wyoming or wherever that it might be, if you live in Wyoming, how do you have internet? How are you watching this? That doesn't make sense. So you're going to make about $53,400 less on your cash flow. So you're going to spend that much more by getting a mortgage. Your amortization gain, your amortization gain over the first 10 years and your appreciation gain. I flipped these over here. So you're going to make about $292,000 in appreciation at 4.53% average appreciation gain. Your cost to sell is going to be a little bit less in King County because the price of the house is going to be a little bit less. Your tax benefit will be a little less because the price of the house and the mortgage amount is a little bit less. Your amortization gain is going to be a little bit less because you have a little bit lower loan amount. But as you can see, the costs and the credits still bear out that if you're going to be in there for 3 or 4 years, and you don't want to be a landlord, if this is just your 3-year plan, if you're buying a house to, you know, start your real estate portfolio, gain some equity, and then move to the next place, absolutely 100% do this. Just stay there for 5 or 6 years, or rent it out and then move again, or buy a duplex and house hack it. But what we wanted to do with this,
which was a previous episode of ours,
what we wanted to do with all this information is we wanted to show you guys what the math looks like renting versus buying in the two counties that are the most populated here in Washington. And then I wanted to show you this Harvard Business Study that shows that while rental markets are softening, half still of U.S. tenants spend more than they can afford. And we can split this article in the assets of this episode as well. And what is really, really, really horrible about this, can you see this article or no? Or are you just seeing net gain by buying a home?
No, I'm still seeing the net gain by buying a home. So why don't you share, and then I'll throw it back up.
I'm going to reshare. There we go.
Perfect. Okay, adding it to the stage. All right, here we go.
So this Harvard study shows that half of U.S. tenants are still spending more than they can afford on rent. And the thing about this is it is not going to get better. Rent is going to go up or stay the same. And if rent goes down, it is not going to go down for long. And so if you already have half the people spending more than they can afford to pay reasonably in rent already, we talked about how 30-year fixed mortgage is the best defense and best hedge against inflation because your costs stay relatively the same. Taxes, of course, go up, but they go up so much more nominally as opposed to rental prices and mortgages as housing prices go up. The math that we did before, $500,000 house in Pierce County, say about $4,800 a year in taxes, about a 2% increase in taxes, we'll say, which is, you know, right around a little bit less normally than that. But that's only a $96 increase per year. That's a $96 increase per year. That is less than $9 per month that your housing price will go up, that your mortgage payment will go up, as opposed to a 6 or 4.5% increase in rent. 4.5% of, you know, $2,000 is a lot more than $9 a month.
Absolutely.
So, 100%. Yeah. Anybody else in the comments? I like that 2-1 buy down option. We're going to do a whole show on that. So tune in for that if you guys are.
Jeff Thornton's interesting, not to give him a full on plug, but Jeff's good guy. So I've met him off of TikTok, I believe, and YouTube, but he's a realtor and broker at the same time.
All right.
Yeah. In our area. Wow. So
that's great. He's in the business. And he's watching. So way to go. Cheers, Jeff.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Or was watching. Peaced out.
Send my cheers, Jeffrey.
Yeah, no. but yeah, no, it looks like I don't see anyone having any more comments or questions on it. But yeah, I mean, I think we really did hone in on what I think you were really good with the numbers there. I think, I mean, if anything, I think that gentleman that we watched his video. Oh, hold on. Let's see here. Joe's got another question. So, Joe asks, and by the way, anyone that's watching this, like on, YouTube and LinkedIn and Facebook, I use a multi-stream platform called StreamYard. TikTok is the one platform that doesn't get along well with it, so I can't throw the questions up on the screen like any other platform, but I will read them off to you. So Joe asks, how should I sell my condo to buy a house or wait? How should I sell my condo to buy a house or wait? Joe, you're asking, should you sell your condo to buy a house right now or wait? Well,
that is, unfortunately, with the information we have, unanswerable. It depends on your goals. I would say let's set up a Zoom to talk about, do you want to continue to build equity in both places and build your nest egg? Do you have enough equity to take out of the condo to purchase the new house, either via home equity line of credit or a cash out refinance to get the money? Do you not want the burden of being a landlord and you want to sell it and buy a new house? And then how do we time that in a market like this? There's a whole lot of if thens in that statement, but it is absolutely possible. And we'll just hone in on what your actual goals are so we can make sure that you're served the best way.
Yeah, that'd be great. I know, Joe, you and I have chatted a little bit about what you told me your budget was and what you were looking for on the east side. And I was even looking, I sent you like a, I could send you an off-market list if you're interested on some, I looked into like some expired and canceled listings that could possibly work for your situation, which that could be a good option, Joe, by the way. If I sent you that list of off-market properties and you liked one of them, this doesn't work out for everyone. So I don't want to like, I'm not trying to promise you into something that works for most people, but I do every year get one or two clients into a house this way. So if I send you this list of off-market properties that I actually combed through for you when we were chatting on TikTok, and you liked any of them, what I can do is reach out to the original owner, because I actually pre-scanned them for you, and I made sure I checked the tax record to make sure the homeowner still owns the home that was trying to sell it up to 2 years ago, and I made sure it was still within the budget that you gave me and the parameters that you gave me, Joe. So what we could do is I'd send you that list. If you liked any of them, I could see, let's see here. Oh yeah, Joe, I'd have to double check if any of the off market had, I think in that list, there are a couple in Bellevue. Yeah. So let me double check in that list if any of them were in Bellevue. I think there are a couple in Bellevue in your price range that you gave us, but we could also, at 950K that you said, let me double check the off market list, cause it was up to 2 years ago that you gave me. So, but yeah, let's chat through TikTok. Okay. And what you could do, Joe, when you ran that budget number, are you running that based on what you believe you can sell your con for, how much you're going to pull out of it to put towards a home? And have you kind of ran your own numbers on figuring out the monthly mortgage payments? Like, have you used like any online mortgage calculators, or have you talked to a lender yet to really hone in on what your true budget is? He said yes. So, okay.
You're good.
Cool. You're good. You're on the right track. So
there are realtors, and then there is Aaron. You just went through off the cuff, oh, hey, when we met on TikTok and we talked, and these off-market listings that I sent to you and the ones that were within your budget, and I know that the owners still live there, and I know that they have a can sell at a price point that fits for you. I can't tell you, we work with hundreds of real estate agents every year, and that is not common. Like what Aaron just spouted off as if it were just him doing his job, the way he thinks that this is just part of my responsibility and my role as a realtor, is not common in this job. And it is really difficult for a layperson to know what to expect, what to not expect. They meet a realtor at an open house or from a referral. There are differences in, like, in every walk of life, there are differences in realtor competency and ethics and professionalism. And Aaron is at the top. So way to go. Way to go, guys. You chose
thanks
Aaron,
for the
chose
right. Thanks for the plug, Brian. Well, Joe, I will I'll double check the list and get back to you, Joe, on TikTok. So fantastic. Thanks, Joe, for the comments, and I'll get back to you. Yeah, fantastic. So and Joe, what we could do, Joe, we'll chat more, because I would love to double check everything just to make sure the numbers are good for you. Because sometimes you'd be surprised when you have a second opinion, when you have a second look at what you could sell your condo for, and you have a second look at what the loan would look like. Maybe there's some more room there in the budget, or there's some, you know, who knows what we'll find, but let's chat more. So, fantastic. Good. Well, yeah, I think this was great. Anyone that's watching this, definitely look back on it. If you guys have any questions on this, I mean, here's the thing. Now, I will mention this though. Like, we just mentioned a super conservative, like, most of the time it doesn't make sense cash flow wise to do this, right? To basically buy a house if you're gonna turn around and sell it within 3 years. On the flip side, I mean, I'm just to play devil's advocate here. I'm just throwing this out here. I always share this client story that bought up, right? So I had a client that they have bought and sold through me 3 times within a matter of, it was like a 5-year period. Yeah. they started out with a condo and then a townhouse and then a single family house. And when we started their journey year one, you know, of their 5-year period, they wanted the single family home, of course, but they couldn't get there, and they couldn't get there with their income. And, there was going to be no job change. There was no plans for any job change or significant increase in job pay or anything like that. Just incremental, you know, improvements on the pay raises. So without a significant change in income, the way to do it was to use the down payment assistance program, get on a condo that worked for it, get them into that condo. We honed in on an area that we felt like looking at the numbers, the appreciation would be there, and we hedged our bets, and it was good, and it paid off because 2 years or year and a half to 2 years later, they were able to pull out just enough to use as the down payment towards the townhouse. And then the townhouse, they pulled out 2.5 years later as much better equity to use towards the actual single family home that they finally got into. Every time the margins were super thin. So I'm not talking about like crazy scenarios where they made mad money each time, you know, but we were able to get them into that house on a 5-year plan through the power of letting each house work as a, you know, work as an asset to use the money and pull out of it in the next one. Now, I every time talk to them about the idea of what if you stayed, what if you looked at the possibility of renting the previous one versus selling it, and then, but they just did not want to be a landlord. So that was never an option for them to hold on to the asset and buy the next one, you know? But it's something that I always recommend clients look into if they're going to buy their next home, is double check to see if it makes sense to rent. And Joe, this is something that you could look into too. If you're still listening, is what would your condo rent out for? And I don't know if you looked at that angle yet. Is there enough there for rental income to offset towards home ownership with your income to buy what you're looking for? I don't know if you looked at that angle yet or not, if you're still listening or not, but if so, great. Look into that. That's an option for some people. That's a route that a lot of people just don't look into, and it's worked out for a lot of my clients once they've looked into it. And then a lot of people look into it and they're like, nope, never mind. But it's good to at least rule out, right? You want to rule out every possibility to make sure that you've looked into all the options and you're well-informed. So I feel like I've been blabbering, but you know, this is part of the heart of an educator. So, but yeah. Okay. So if anyone, else doesn't have any questions, I'm glad that TikTok finally threw all of the viewers at the very last minute and everyone's just hopped on at the very end. Thanks for that, TikTok algorithm. But everyone on, hold on, let's see here. Joe, doesn't help in the amount. Yeah. And Joe, most of the time it wouldn't for a condo. So I totally get it. I just thought I'd bring it up just to see if you've looked into it. So, I totally understand. I'm glad that you looked into it though. And we'll chat again, but anyone that's on TikTok that's watching this, you'll either be able to go watch the full video of this on my YouTube channel. I have this in podcast form. And then I also have been working on cutting it up to start making these in nice bite-sized chunks on TikTok as well for the good content that you need. So anyone that didn't get to watch this, let me know. I'll send you the link. Again, as a reminder for anyone that came on and have no idea who we are, since we're kind of wrapping this all up, since no one else has any questions. My name's Aaron Morrow, local realtor here in the greater Seattle area. I've been serving clients here in the greater Seattle area for over 10 years now. Brian, the mortgage guy, he's been doing this for 40,000 years. Washingtonian. It looks very youthful for doing it for 40,000 years. No, he covers all of Washington and parts of Oregon too, because enough of his clients have been complaining for him to do Oregon as well.
And there's really no difference between Washington and Oregon.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, lending laws there is, but like, you wouldn't know if you were in one state or the other.
Yeah. I primarily work with clients in King, Pierce, and Snohomish counties, but you know, I have clients that take me, like I just had a client, I just threw a video up on TikTok and YouTube of a client that client journey in Skagit. So like I have clients that take me a little bit north or south, depending on what they need. So reach out to us. We're happy to help. And if you're all across the U.S., again, we'd love to help connect you with the right people. Other than that, reach out to us. We're happy to help. And until next time, stay tuned. We're still figuring out where we're going to talk about next time. But other than that, I think that's it. You have anything else, Brian?
Nope. It's a pleasure as always. This was super data deep. So please, 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 if you're watching this on just audio format, reach out for the assets and we will send them to you, or go over to Aaron's YouTube channel so you can follow along. You want to make
comment
sure
comment assets. All right. Sounds good. See you guys.